Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. And I really like having you back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Ann. I'm so happy to be back. I haven't been on the internet in like 2 weeks, which is quite frankly unsettling.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That part of it wasn't good.
Yeah, I guess I miss having you in our shared spaces, but in general, I'm like, how healthy? It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been cool on the internet. It's always pretty rancid, so
it's true,
I'm glad
yeah.
that you're in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just playing with babies and talking to my family members and having a good time.
One of those is very, very healing. The babies.
Yes. Yeah, the babies. not the family members.
Not talking to, I mean, my family members anyways.
Situational.
Situational.
The other one is situational.
It's true. I enjoyed talking to my brothers and sisters-in-law quite a bit, so that was really nice too. But yeah, babies, very good.
Babies.
Oh, babies. When you get to have, when you're at a gathering with adults and then there's babies there, it's mm-hmm. just like, I'm about to have a great time. I'm mm-hmm. not going to get stuck in any conversations that I don't like because there's a baby there who wants my attention and he's going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll be making faces for the next hour. That'll be what I'm up to.
Yeah. And it's amazing how easy it is to get a kid to like you. It's like pay them literally any amount of attention. Just the smallest amount, that'll get you there.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
They're so fun. And they'll like ritualize anything really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like if you do one thing that they think is like fun or interesting or funny, they're just like,
yeah,
should we just only do that for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's how I live too. So
yeah, we ate our dessert outside one night. And then the next night, my nephew who's 5 was like, should we eat our dessert outside? And my brother was like, now we're going to always have to eat dessert outside.
Like, that's so fun.
I know. It was great. I loved it. It was so nice out there.
Yeah. It's fun being a kid. I wish I were a kid again. Just kidding,
Just kidding. You have no control over your life, but yeah.
Yeah,
and we got to babysit the nephews one night, just me and my parents, while the kids all went out for, the kids, my brother and his wife went out for dinner, and it was like, it went amazing, like not to brag. The kids didn't cry when their parents left. When their parents came back, we said, oh, Grant, your mommy and daddy just came back. You want to go say hi? Or to the 2-year-old, actually, we said that to Henry, and he was like, no. Great. Okay. Yeah, we're having a blast. Yeah.
Well, we are very happy that you're back. And you missed us, right?
I did miss you. Yeah. Jeremy did great. You guys did great with Jeremy. Yeah.
Jeremy was so fun.
We loved having Jeremy here. But no matter how much we love a guest, we always miss having our core crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our three powerful legs of the world's weirdest stool.
Those three powerful legs at which time between one and two of them might be standing.
Sometimes the stool has no legs, honestly. Some weeks it's like you come into the house, you're like, what is holding that stool top up? And it's just like faith. Blind faith.
Just the power of love, baby.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so this is going to be, we're entering, and this is in deference to Leah. Ann and I could be happy all year long, okay? But
not to brag, but yeah, we could.
In deference to Leah, we are entering the final round of What's Making Me Happy for the Year. And it is my turn, so I'm prepared. And I think you guys are going to be really excited to hear that what's making me happy this week is the weather.
Okay, this is fucking bullshit.
No, it's not, because I have a lot to say, so shut up.
That wasn't the bylaws. I was told that if the weather was brought up on this podcast ever again, you were going to scream.
It's really a broader topic. And I don't think I said that. I think Anne said that. But
no,
it's really
you said it.
3 weeks earlier.
If you ever mention the weather again on this podcast, you'll be fucking sorry. Unless you're in the middle of a hurricane, a monsoon, a tornado, any of those three. Any other high-intensity
battles.
I could have said anything, but it's really a broader topic. I don't care. If you don't want to hear my life update, then you can get off this Zoom, okay? This past week, the weather, it's been unseasonably cool. It's like, you know, usually it's like September, everyone's being like, it's fall. And it's like, I'm sweating to death. No, it's genuinely fall weather. It's under 70 degrees. It's down in the 50s at night. Summer is fine, but I would say this wasn't really a good one. I didn't really enjoy the summer that much at all, even though I dutifully exerted myself to think of things that were making me happy, and I tried to be happy, and I had a certain amount of happiness, but it was really difficult. But when the weather comes, when the temperature comes down that little bit, it really is like suddenly I'm like, oh, my brain wasn't working. Oh, for the past 2 months, my brain has been completely non-functional. And mm-hmm. I've been basically non-functional. And now suddenly, and this is the opposite of Anne, so it's funny to say this to her. But yeah. Now suddenly that the weather is just a tad cooler, it's like, you know what I can do? I can change the windshield wipers on my car. Just bought them, went outside, and did it. I can do my dishes and my laundry, all of them, at the same time. They're all done right now. Wow. There's nothing dirty in this house. Whoa. I can deep clean my kitchen. I can go outside and give my car a little cleaning on the inside. Did that too. There's nothing that I can't achieve. All my meds are working. My mind is clear. I'm going to make moussaka this weekend. Now that it's September and it's under 70 degrees on a regular basis, I'm healthy.
So what you're saying is we're going from hot and summer to cool alley fall.
Cool alley fall in the hugest possible way. I had so many unfinished projects that were just cluttering up my house. You know what I just did? Just finished them. Just wow. finished all the lampshades. Wow. There's no half-finished lampshades in this house right now. There's a beautiful new lampshade in my living room.
It makes it sound like your house was full of like 20 unfinished lampshades.
That's kind of how it felt though, because there's quite a few like lampshades that could become projects in the house. That's okay. We've isolated those. Those are going to go down to the basement. It's easy to get them down there now. Everything is. I put a tablecloth on the dining room table. Wow. Beautiful linen tablecloth on the dining room table. It's nice in there.
Wow, that's incredible. See, and for me, it was unseasonably cool here in the 70s in August last week, and it was like freezing to death. And today I had the thought, like, what's going to happen to me when I have to stop having my breakfast and lunch outside? Oh, man. It's not going to be good, ladies.
I don't like it for you, but I love it for me. And that's so difficult when...
Yeah.
When
I'm glad that someone's happy, though. That's nice.
It's good. It's good that one of us can be happy. That's what makes me. It really is just like fall, I guess. It really is just like, oh, this bitch white girl loves fall. Well, I like when my brain works. So, yeah, I do prefer it. And I wanted to say, because it is kind of just like, I like fall. I'm rewatching Portlandia. I'm having a blast. Nice. To our listeners, I'd like to say, like, if you feel like reaching out and telling us, like, one thing that you, like, look forward to doing in fall, you love in fall, you're like, I love to read this in fall, I love to watch this in fall, I love to cook this in fall, let me know, because I'll do it. I'll watch it, I'll read it, I'll cook it. I'm looking for ideas. I'm so present. I'm so mentally present right now.
Honestly, like, I have been thinking, though, because we're entering my sad seasons. I was like, I really do need to, like, lean into enjoying what's good about fall and winter. So I think our listeners should do this for every season. Like, send on your fall movies and books and everything right now. And then in winter, let's send those on as well. And
I love that. Can you get us through the year? at our listeners, can you help us survive this year?
We're mentally compromised. Help.
And the seasons are very important. We're practicing mindfulness. We're looking at the sensory world around us rather than that. Internet.
The internal world of the computer. Yeah, we don't give a shit about that. We look out. No. We look outside.
Outside.
We look outside. My garage is clean.
Why did you ricochet laugh?
Your energy in this whole segment, because it started so aggressive, like, it's been so funny. And you're like, and I goddamn love fall, and I don't care who knows it.
Well, I do think it's, like, it's not interesting to say. And I was like, should I come up with something better to say what's making me happy? And I had other things I could say. I'm juicing various things. Like, I've got lots of drink-based things happening in this house. I could have gotten into that. I didn't even get into that. I put a watermelon in the blender. Like, don't worry about it.
The whole thing?
Well, I scooped out all the insides. I put it in the blender. Then I strained it to make watermelon juice. And then because I've been making like watermelon limeade, basically, which is so elite, because I looked up like a really good way to infuse your sugar with zest and then turn it into a syrup. And it's like really zesty.
Wow.
That's all happening. And then I looked at the watermelon in the pitcher that I'd poured it into. And I was like, wow. And can you even imagine the savings? Look at how much watermelon juice I got from that watermelon. And then I was like, who's buying watermelon juice?
Like, this is even possible to join buy watermelon juice. Crazy. Mom made a watermelon and mint and feta salad, which is like so classic, but it was so good, and I haven't had it in a really long time. Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, great.
Watermelon is really good. I think you forget sometimes, and then you have some, and you're like, oh, that's dope. Yeah,
yeah. Especially that in season summer watermelon.
Yes,
really takes you. Yeah.
So anyway, I could have said that's what was making it is making me happy, but really it's just like mental presence. It's both juicing and the weather.
It's all you need, just watermelon juice and a 60 degree day.
The things you will achieve.
You're saving money, you know.
What a crazy thought. I was like, what am I, a fucking trad wife? Like, what do you mean? I'm really saving money? Whatever. Anyway, so that's all I have. And that's all on that. And so we also watched wrestling this week. And I got to say up front, I'm really sad that you were out last week and not this week, because this would have been a better week for you to not see, you know, like last week was so transcendent.
Yeah, I did go back and like fast forward through it to try to hit like the sexual highlights that I'd been made aware of them, so
you know. Yeah, and you enjoyed them, right?
I did, yeah, although things are less transcendent when you've already been spoiled by seeing GIFs and stuff, so
that's true. You didn't get, because it was a little bit of, it was like you didn't expect it to be a sexual fever dream at all when you got in there, and then it was like, wow, you guys really showed up for this.
Yeah.
But this week was a little less like that.
And this week was a little more like, where are all the men? Where have all the men gone? Is this all the men we have?
No, it's like, I
bought a new pack of men, but I think we're almost out.
Tony's like, oh, no. Sorry, you misremembered. We didn't buy a new pack. We lost 4 packs. So similar.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get down to it. This week on AEW TV, I've said it's the Death Riders world, and we're just living in it. They were all over this episode with their little mucky paw prints.
I was like, getting more time than when they had the world title at this point.
But you know what? More enjoyably. So it's like you can't get too mad. Or
not
can
complaining.
You? No, I'm not mad. So first of all, we had Danny Garcia fought Blake Christian on Collision. And John Moxley came out in the middle of the match. He just like strode out over to Danny Garcia's corner, jumped up on the,
he jumped up on the thing. And then when he got Danny to come over, just started gently stroking his gently shoulder.
Whispering. He said, come here, Danny. How do you call your lover boy? Call him over. And yeah, he's stroking, he's whispering. Danny Garcia is looking completely unreadable. And he just whispers to him privately for a while. And then he kind of pats him like, you get on back out there. And then he just leaves. He confidently strides off again.
He said what he came to say. I'm dying to know what it was. Because you would have to think that if you're a normal wrestling fan, you'd be like, oh, he told him how to pin Blake Christian. Except that it was like fully like 3 or 4 sentences.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth did he say? It really was like, when you get out of this match, put on your special underwear, meet me at the back of the venue. I will be in the pickup truck.
You'll know me by my... I'll be carrying a rose. That's how you'll know it's me.
Between my teeth. Yeah.
It was like, he was just like, I just want you to know I desire you carnally. Now continue the match like this hasn't happened. Because then he wins, and he does this pin on, I mean, I don't know what happened with Blake Christian, but Blake Christian like is going to jump on him, and Danny Garcia was like, let me spread my legs so wide to, I don't know, like, it, like,
just welcome
him.
You into them.
Welcome
yeah.
him into my embrace, and then I wrap myself around him, and in this way I win the match. It's like, maybe Mox did tell you to do that. I don't know.
It was like cradling with his sacrum.
I mean, if Mox is going around giving people, like, tips to make wrestling more sexual, like, that would check out a little bit.
And that I'd would love be it. Really yeah. ethical. So yeah, that's a huge sure. face turn for Jon Moxley, maybe. But Tony Schiavone gets in the ring after and is like, Danny, I think we're all wondering, like, that handsome stranger who came and beckoned you over in the middle of the match. Like, what did he have to say to you? And Danny goes, don't you worry about that. That's my business. Anyway, John Moxley, I've been chasing you for 5 years and you've got everything I want. You've got the influence. You've got the accolades. And I don't get any of that unless I go through you. And then he challenges him to a match. So it's just like, what did he say? Like, he's like,
I was obsessed with it because that little speech was presented as if he had written and practiced it backstage, and he was always planning on giving that speech, and he had no idea Mox was going to say something dirty to him. So he was like, Tony Schiavone, I can't think about that right now. I just have to do the little speech I promised I was going to do.
He said, I practiced one thing in front of the mirror, and I can't change it up now.
And it was a crazy speech, right? Because it was like, have you been chasing John Moxley for 5 years? And does really John Moxley have everything you want? Like, and you have to go through him? What? Like,
it would make more sense if he was like saying this about Yuta, to be like, I was the one that was supposed to join the Death Riders and I didn't. You know what I mean? But I'm like,
you have what I want. Yeah.
You have what I want. But I'm like, I don't, like, Mox, it feels very weird to be, be like, Mox is like, five levels above him, so for him to be like, you have everything I'm on, and you're like, yeah, well, you give it 20 years, I guess.
Yeah, I think it would. It's interesting. It's like, it would kind of make more sense to maybe call out something a little concrete, like, I wanted to be one of your boys, and you rejected me, and you took another boy instead, and that hurt my feelings, and then I had to go be a show boy for 3 years, and that was actually really hard for me. A lot of
it, you know, I was a dancing monkey, Moxley. Yeah, and you didn't care.
Poor Beth and Art is over there, like, okay, and I'm chopped liver. You got a dad out of it. You got one dad out of it. And anyway, so he calls Mox out. I think watching this, I'm just like, so he'll call him out for All Out because he's been chasing him for years. And so it's and last time was on Dynamite. So let's escalate to All Out. And it's like, on next week's Collision, I was like, Danny, how could you let them do this to you?
There were so many match announcements in this episode that I would have thought were for something big, but they were just for Collision this week. And I was like, interesting.
Who's coming to that Collision?
Yeah, what's up with
the Queen? Dead. I knew that.
There was a moment during this Dynamite where they panned across the crowd, and I was so positive that I saw Patricia Heaton. And I really, like, I tried to get you guys in on my vision, and you guys weren't hearing it, but I really got lost for a while thinking, like, what are the weirdest celebrities that you could get to just be in the crowd, just for a moment for the crowd to, like, pan over? And I was like, this is the kind of shit that Tony should be doing with his money. Like, never mind buying songs. Like, just straight up be like, Mr. T, how much money would it cost just to be in the crowd for 1 second? Just, like, you don't even have to stay for the whole show. Just let us pan across you.
I don't think it would break the bank for a lot of those kind of D-list celebs. Mm-hmm. And I think they'd be fun. Like, because Paul, did you guys see the clip where Paul Walter Hauser brought a couple of actor friends with, like, Stephen Root and I forget the name of the other guy, but he, you know, recognizable character actor, and they were like, we've never seen wrestling before, but this was so fun. I was like,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
That is really nice.
It does feel like maybe you should just hop on Cameo and, like, see who's mm-hmm. And if they're on Cameo, it's like, you can probably get them in the door. Probably pretty cheap to get them in the door.
Pretty cheap, yeah.
Especially if you were willing to put up a little thing being like, find him on Cameo. Partner with Cameo? Question mark.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
I'm kind of one of our great synergistic minds, actually.
And it'd be a fun little activity for the audience, too, if you're just, like, looking at the crowd and you're like, hey, wasn't she on Everybody Loves Raymond? Like, you know, like, I can't place that actor, but I know them from somewhere.
Yeah.
That crowd
that'll
member.
Be great.
And, like, watching Dynamite, knowing that at some point a D-list actress or actor is going to be on camera, but you don't know who, so then it's like, is that a fan, or am I supposed to know that person? And it's like, come on, that would be a blast.
I think it might be problematic to say, like, I would take my eyes off the screen less, because it's like, they should be on there for the wrestlers. But I think it might give me a bit of an edge if I were, I could see anybody. I could see, you know.
And they're doing that garbage with putting the tweets on the screen, where apparently they're trying to get me to stop second screening by putting worse tweets than I would see by myself, like, on screen. But
it's so funny that some of them were from, like, let's say, notable IWC personalities. And it's like, do you think it's helpful that when I'm watching the show I like to watch, I'm going to see an internet presence I actively dislike? They have no skill. They have no skills that they're bringing. It's not like when I see a wrestler I don't like, at least I'm like, well, you can wrestle and it is your job. It's like, this is just some person I don't like seeing online and I like even less having to see when I'm watching the product they're talking about.
If they were really cherry-picking tweets, like the kind of things like we would bring back to the group chat, it would be like, oh, that was a funny thing. I'm glad I saw it. But oh my God, it's, you know, it's Hook again. I'm like, why is that on my screen?
They're garbage. All just like, AEW Dynamite really is one of the great shows. It's like, guys, come on.
It's like, I'm already watching it. Like, you don't have to advertise it to me. Come on.
One of these weeks, I'll turn it off. If I see the wrong tweet, I'll turn the show off. The numbers will That's go it. Down.
Okay. And then they'll have to, like, cross-reference the tweets and be like, they are not a draw.
So that's actually huge for the internet wrestling community, is that now, having no skills, you can be or not be a draw on TV. Yeah. That's really exciting. Honestly, I'm sure some people are beaten off to that as we speak. All right.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. If you think I know... maybe we'll come back to Jon Moxley, what's going on with Jon Moxley in a minute. And we did talk about that. Okay, great. So then on this week's Dynamite, we open with Excalibur's doing the match rundown, and then we cut to Gabe Kidd coming out with a mic, and he's coming out, he's just saying, we're all running on my time, and it's ticking. Tick tock, tick tock. Which was, to me, like, it was kind of like he came out and was like, do you know you have 30 minutes? 30
minutes. Like, there's a villain on the later seasons of Dexter who says tick tock, tick tock, like that to victims. I was just like, I don't enjoy this.
It's a dangerous, I think tick tock territory is a little dangerous, like, to be saying that kind of thing. It's like... Yeah. And Gabe Kidd does kind of, he does have the look for it, I will say. Like, he does kind of look like he should be saying it, but. So then he says, so that begs the question, Darby, where are you? I guess because we're running on his time. And I was about to jump in and be like, oh, you know where he is. But to Gabe Kidd's credit, he immediately said, we can all see this dump ain't big enough for you to be hiding in the rafters. I said, okay, credit where credit is due. You did immediately address the thing you needed to address, which is that Darby would love to be in the rafters. Of course he would love to be in the rafters. Unfortunately, I think he just was backstage at Gorilla straining on his child leash, and then Tony unclipped it, and he came barreling out and rammed himself into Gabe Kidd in the ring, and they started fighting, and Gabe Kidd is tearing padding off stuff, and they're ramming each other's heads into stuff, and it was a long little melee to start with. It was almost like a match, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. Just kept going. People kept coming in and out. I was like, when we start with a melee, I feel destabilized. Like, I
know. I'm confused. What's happening here? I kind of
know the rhythms, and this is not, it's not what we do.
I didn't mind it, but I was definitely like, oh, God, I just started paying attention, and you want me to know what's, okay, yeah. And I guess I had missed, Gabe Kidd did have a promo on Darby on Collision, which I hadn't seen at the time. So I was just like, oh, you guys are okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. We're moving through all the Death Riders. And then everyone's fighting. Yuta shows up. Like, he takes some damage. Lights out. I did think in a small venue, lights out had a little more magic than it sometimes does because it felt very dark. It felt very dark for a moment. Mm-hmm. And then the Hook signal went up. And it was such an immediate, like, oh.
Is that all? Yeah.
Okay. My heart is open. Okay.
Sure.
So Hook comes swaggering out to his new Frank Sinatra song or whatever. And everyone's exchanging looks. Mox is doing, I think we didn't get a full like face on, unfortunately, but he was doing one of his classic like delighted faces, which was like, I've never felt that way about seeing Hook, but I love that you're so lit up by it, right? Darby's actively spitting. He's spittling like crazy. And then, like, all of a sudden, Hook's music stops. The Ops music hits. Now, let me explain first, and you guys can agree or disagree. In the moment, what I thought everybody somehow communicated, because Hook looked so unbothered, I thought he was communicating, like, exactly as I planned. And mm-hmm. it's not just me. You might have been thinking it's just Hook. No, it's Hook and his ops. Yeah. And here they come. And I, basically, mm-hmm. I thought he turned and like beckoned them out, like, come along, ops. And Samoa Joe and ops ran out. And I said, well, it's crazy. They're all big. They are all one big happy family. I guess that stuff at that pay-per-view was nothing. They love each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Nope.
What did you guys take from it?
Same. That was, yeah. And it was like, I have such a hard time paying attention to or caring about like whatever is going on with the ops because they don't really communicate it to me real clearly that I was just like, oh, right, Hook's with the ops is kind of what I thought.
I was.
Oh, right, they're a faction.
I did think I was paying attention, although it was clearly like revealed to me that I was not at all, but I thought I was paying attention and I thought
also
I was
doing a good job.
Actively was like, oh, the ops and Hook are back together. Fun.
I thought, like, wow, it's weird that we just got the skinny from Jeremy last week, thank God. I was like, it's weird that they did that thing where they weren't getting along, but now they are getting along. But, you know, that happens in wrestling. They'll just drop a beat, and yeah, I've learned to live with it. I'm an easygoing girl. So I guess he loves the ups. Now, Leah, what did you then come back 10 minutes later to tell your confused brethren?
Something boring was on screen, and I clicked over to Blue Sky, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden, I see one tweet that goes, wow, Hook is so pissed that the ops showed him up. And I was like, he was? And then they showed a GIF, and I was like, oh, I guess.
Did he look mad?
And then a minute later, I read a tweet that goes, wow, Mox smiling at Hook. He's really seducing all the young boys. And I was like, he did.
Well, you did. I did see that. Yeah, but so I thought it was the happy smile of a man who can't wait to murder.
Apparently, we were supposed to take away from that segment that Hook was pissed that he was embarrassed by the ops stealing his entrance, and he's so pissed that he might be tempted to the dark side. Yeah. Now, we're smart girls. We watch pretty, dense TV shows. We follow many plots. We read. We read. We're readers.
We know how.
Not to brag.
Why couldn't we follow any of this?
I don't think it's on us because I do think it's on Hook's complete lack of face acting.
Yeah, because like you came in and you were like, girls, I'm really worried because I got on Blue Sky and apparently I didn't understand the story with Hook at all. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? It was like, oh yeah, I didn't get that at all. But I went back and watched it tonight again and I was like, yeah, Hook did not convey anger at all.
He looked so languorous. Like he just looked like, as I suspected, here they come.
He was just like, oh, here's some guys, I guess. Yeah. Crazy. Especially in wrestling where you calibrate yourself to not look for subtle changes because no one's doing the subtle stuff on purpose. Like if they're doing something on purpose, they should be projecting that expression.
You have to build a lot of trust before I'm paying attention to your micro expressions. And I would say Hook has not built any of that. Like I'm like barely looking at his face. Usually I'm like, Hook, it's all about the body. And it's mostly whether the body is actively punching. That's what I'm discerning. And if he's punching, I think he's mad.
Yeah, and I actively didn't question him being back with the ops because I was like, I think that's a better choice. He needs a faction behind him. Samoa Joe was good for him. Get him back in that fold. That's where he should 100%. Be. Like, no problem.
Hook going off on his own is insane. Like, he does, and I think this week proved it more than ever.
But I guess, you know, in fairness, I'll give it a little credit. I'm like, okay, if Mox was looking at Hook in delight, like, wow, another boy for me to poach for my boy team. That could be good. I'm like, Mox, I think that you are a good mentor. I think that you're good at, like, helping people lean into the things that make them seem, like, interesting and good to watch. I think you've done a good job with most of your mentorships. Maybe, okay, if Hook is coming to stay with you and be in your family, then that's okay. But he can't be alone, certainly, and he needs a really firm hand. He needs someone who can really give him some ideas.
Now I'm thinking, like, the Don Callis family keeps growing, and now the Death Riders are going to keep growing, too. It's like, are we in a situation where everyone...
They're Quiverfuls. They're Quiverfuls.
Okay.
So classic Kyle O'Reilly.
Classic early 2000s spoof TLC Don Callis family promo. Like they have
Don Callis, 19 Kids and Counting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's not nothing.
It's not funny. Don Callis.
We'll get to Don Callis in a bit. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, someone's got to take him. Someone's got to take him. Yeah,
absolutely.
I want Mox to give some kind of promo where he explains what hook Daniel Garcia and Chris Stallander have in common that he, like, the three of them are his targets. I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's, like, they're kind of alone and vulnerable.
Right for the taking.
Easy prey. Does that answer your question? Easy prey.
Antelopes separated from the herd. Yeah.
Just like sulking teen antelopes who are like, nobody understands me. And Mox in the back of the pack, like, yes.
Perfect for a cult leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's good at what he's good at. Okay. And then we did have we had an ops hook backstage segment later that clarified the storyline for us, at least, although pretty bad. I would not say that anybody did an amazing job in this segment.
I feel like I usually have quite a bit of tolerance for young guys not being great promos, but Hook was pretty embarrassing in this one.
Yeah. And it didn't, there was no one carrying it, because I actually don't think, and I'm sorry, I know, guys, it sucks that we hate Samoa Joe. No, we just don't mind him, but it's like, I know you say he's good at talking, but he wasn't good in this, and neither was Hobbs. No one was good in this.
Yeah. I'm in a better place with him than I was when he was champ.
Of course.
But I still, there's just never a point where I'm like, oh, good, he's got a mic.
No. Anyway, I think the back and forth was that Hook was like, I got injured, and you immediately you replaced me with a new man. How dare you?
It was actually kind of funny because Hobbs, that was the exact reason that Hobbs left the DCF for Samoa Joe. And I was just like, wow, people be doing that crime. Like, Tony's got to do seminars backstage. What goes around
comes all the way back around.
Tony's
I came back on this podcast and was like, I went on vacation for 1 week and you replaced me with Jeremy.
She was like, Ann, you said okay to it beforehand. So I think that's what's going on. And then I don't really know what the takeaway was. I don't remember how this ended. Like, I think Samoa Joe was like, stop being such a little bitch. And Hook was like, I never will. I hate it here. I wish that none of you had ever been born. Something like that. So that's what's going on with him. There was a lot of other fighting that was happening at the end of this melee. So Gabe Kidd took Darby backstage and did unto him some of the violence that Darby craved so very badly. And he was doing some villain monologuing during it, which, again, I was like, you do look like you should be doing this. So I guess maybe I should be more supportive than I feel. I don't love you.
No, he has a very off-putting energy. I feel bad because it's like, I guess my heart is hypothetically open, but so far I have not enjoyed anything you've done. So
I don't know. Unfortunately, because of the way that Jeremy explained Gabe Kidd to us last week, I now weirdly am endeared to him because I think it's
because
so
he works
funny.
New Japan fans. Yes! I mean, it is funny for sure. I think they're so smart. They don't know that wrestlers lie to them.
I unfortunately think it's so funny for someone to make their gimmick. Oh my God. I only like New Japan and I'll never go to AEW. And then Tony Khan offers him $10 and he's like, yes, boss. He's like, that's so funny.
Tony said, $10 and a hot dog. Come on over here. Gabe Kidd said, yes, sir. That'll be my pleasure.
He tweeted like really mean things about Tony Khan for a while, too. Yeah.
And
that's pretty funny.
The second Tony clicked his fingers, Gabe came coming. I love that.
He wants that USD.
They all do. It's so funny to think about, like, I like Tony reading those and just being like, I like his moxie. Hey, I kind of like this guy's moxie. He's not afraid to say things that nobody else will say.
You got spunk, kid.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, my heart is not closed off to Gabe Kidd. I don't really understand him yet, but you know, you keep TikToking and we'll see where that goes. So then the fight spills out into the parking lot. There's a pickup truck out there with a body bag attached to the back. And then I guess Gabe Kidd ends up in the body bag.
I think Darby put Gabe Kidd in the body bag, which I'm like, listen, that's what happens when you fight with Darby. Sometimes, like,
Someone's going in a body
someone's
bag.
Someone's going in a body bag. Yeah.
No.
He said, I just got this body bag 5 minutes ago, but if anything happened to it, I'd kill everybody in this room and then myself.
You know how,
he's swishing in his carry-on, like, it's got to go with me.
You know how you said that thing about Mox getting choked out, where he's like, choke me out, choke me out. All right, you turn. Now my turn. I feel like that's Darby with the body bag, where he's like, okay, I got it last week, but you want to turn this week?
He's kind of like, the body bag is his, like, imaginarium, basically. And he's like, you go in there and you imagine whatever you want in there, and then you get out, and then I'll go in there and imagine whatever I want in there. I do also keep imagining him like Linus from Peanuts, carrying the body bag around like his blankie. Mm-hmm. And if he wanted to do an art film like that, I wouldn't say no. I'd like
he wants it. He wants to do an art film where he like skates down a ramp and then into a body bag, you know?
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah.
That Tony Hawk commercial on, or not commercial, but he's working with Tony Hawk's foundation, so he did a little art film about fundraising, and when he climbed out of the window of his home, I guess, where there's a skate ramp right outside the window. classic Darby.
Tent camp home, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, okay, I should just think, like, do you think Darby's at his tent camp being like, tents are out, body bags are in, you just sleep in a body bag? You don't need that. A tent is too big. It's too luxurious. Sleep in a body bag.
I hope that all of these spots that he's done with the body bag, he tried on Sting Sun first.
Yeah.
Where he
Sting
was like, Sun, okay,
absolutely.
Come on. Let's try out the bag.
I hope he has little pug-sized body bags for the dozens of pugs that are at his tent city. Everyone's just his lawn covered in body bags in the morning, and the neighbors are like, I mean, it is what it is, you know?
Oh, my God. Now, that's a Portlandia sketch, I'll tell you that. All right. Well, I'm glad he's having fun with his favorite toys. Okay. Also on Dynamite, Claudio and Yuta fought Brodito. Mox came out mid-match to attack Brody King. Bandido is still fighting on his own. Darby Allin comes out to save Brody King. Let me just double check if any of us have any recollection. The last memory I have of Brody King and Darby is, I think, of Brody King choking Darby to completion. I don't remember them making friends after that, but they may have. Does anyone have anything?
I think that they know each other from West Coast. It was like brought up where they were like, they've known each other for a long time and they're going to do like big angry violence because Brody was a heel then. But like, I don't think that they've had like any kind of moment where it's like, hey, we're cool now. But like, it is very funny to me in AEW that like, if you are a face in like a top program, you automatically become like, you know, a rescue dog.
Yeah.
And so like, regardless of whether that's really part of your character, like Darby and OC, you really wouldn't think that saving people is kind of their thing. But it's like, anytime they're getting a push, it's like, yeah, they're going to go save everybody.
Yeah.
It's true. And honestly, like, this kind of storyline is exactly why we were like, I guess Hook and the Ops are friends again.
Exactly.
I worry that someone is going to tell us like, guys, there was a whole like, 4 week like plot arc where Darby and Brody like made up their differences and learned to love murder together. Like, I guess there could have been, could have reminded me of it if that were the case. And if it were not the case, I understand that Darby really is just like loves fighting the Death Riders right now. So I guess that's why he came out technically, probably.
Yeah.
But this whole segment was pretty funny too, because again, we did start with a big Death Riders melee. So then in the middle of this, it was like, oh, I thought we already, is the episode, has it started from the beginning again?
Was like second Death Riders melee and not at the end, like at the 9 o'clock hour. Like, okay, well, that's fine, I guess. This was the point where I was like, is everyone injured? Is this what's happening? Yeah. Like, just fully, all we can do is like, well, we'll just have the Death Riders brawl with Darby again. Like, I don't know what else.
We're really worried about our man reserves right now. At Tunnel Talk Pod, we are pretty concerned about how many men we have and how many men we don't.
Yeah.
And it's most of them we don't.
Some of these people are doubling up. They're working two different, you know, two different spots at this point. Everyone's showing up.
Like the Death Riders in DCF, they really are just like, we're carrying the show. And it's like, you are.
You are.
You should be, but
it does feel like, well, you could take the opportunity of being low on men to like let the women have another segment. Mm. Like Willow and Chris maybe could get some time.
That could be nice. Fucking idiot. Dream on.
It's going to make men, if men see more than two women a show, they're going to turn that thing right off.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, confusing stuff. We'll talk more about the dead men later. Don't worry about that. All right, let's move on to the DCF while we're on the topic. So, also in the hot seat in a major way this week, the numerically unparalleled Don Callis family. And I have included this tweet. I'd like for us to discuss it for a moment.
Please.
Everyone must contribute to the whole.
It's all caps.
It's a collective in the family, as Don Callis has stated, from each according to his ability, to me according to my needs. Now, I'm going to, there's two in the first sentence of this, I would say two typos, Don Callis.
Yeah.
There's nust. That one I'm throwing out. We'll be saying must. And there's whole, and that one will be staying. Because everyone must contribute to the whole is the perhaps the most iconic thing that anyone has said in our time in wrestling.
It sounds like a line from one of our podcasts that we can't stop saying, and we end up making it the title, and we think it's so funny that we just kept being like, we must contribute to the whole.
No, we're being like, should we make a t-shirt? This is everyone must contribute to the whole. And then we have to talk ourselves down like, that's inappropriate. For a t-shirt, that's not appropriate. I'd wear it. I'd probably wear it.
I know.
It's the plainest possible font, mm-hmm. and it just said everyone must contribute to the whole period. Mm-hmm. I'd buy it.
Yeah,
that's a promise, and that's a promise.
Yeah, instantly, Don Callis. If you want that money, please,
it's yours. I won't. I will not wear it out of the house. It will be a pajama shirt, but I will purchase. Okay, I love that for you. Everyone must contribute. To the whole. I've rarely been more arrested upon reading. What a man. So let's go back to Collision and see what his boys are up to. So first, Kyle Fletcher and Josh Alexander fought and defeated Ishii and Kyle O'Reilly on Collision. There was also a promo on Collision with the Conglomeration where Roddy was like, he said, Kyle, first crack at Kyle Fletcher, and you're teaming with him about Ishii. And Kyle said, I'm detecting a little bit of animosity, and I get it. You're frustrated, but we love the Conglomerate. I love Conglomerate. I love my Conglomerate buddies, and I love fighting Don Fallis, as he's calling him. And just don't be stressed out, buddy. And then later, they lose, and Kyle is on the side by the ring looking sweaty and disheveled, the way I like him. And Roddy comes out to tenderly cup his face. Roddy, what's going on? What's going on with you, buddy?
And didn't he try to lead him away? Except Kyle was like, well,
yeah.
Ishii is dead. Can I check on him? And Roddy was like, you don't need him.
You know.
Do you think that Roddy is having flashbacks to when Adam Cole left him for MJF? Like, he's just stuck in the Good For You song?
That's what I was wondering, kind of. And I did think, genuinely, I was like, Roddy in some ways has had quite consistent characterization. He is a very insecure friend. And he is, anytime his friend makes a new friend, he's like, what if I kill myself? Oh, so you hate me? So that's consistent, except for the long period between these instances where he was really normal and fine and completely normal and fine.
Yeah.
So there's a trigger. He and Kyle both have a trigger.
And maybe it is losing Adam Cole is the trigger. Yeah. It's like, if Adam Cole goes with MJF, he's insecure. And if Adam Cole just leaves and then he's alone with Kyle, who's becoming increasingly unhinged, he's also pretty insecure.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is. So it's just back to Adam Cole's normal mind powers.
I guess. Where he's
like, when I keep my boys close to me, I'm sending waves of normalcy to them. And they are totally controlled and fine. And the second he's like, boys, I got to focus on me. I don't have the telekinetic energy anymore. I can't be beaming those waves. They're just like, oh, cool. We're losing our minds. You were the only thing holding us together. We're out of our minds.
That's so funny. I had locked into Adam Force normying Kyle, but I hadn't thought about him doing it to Kyle, Roddy at the same time. Yeah. And that's a trip.
Is Adam Cole the brain it from A Wrinkle in Time?
Yes.
Who makes everyone in suburban lockstep with each other in matching houses, bouncing their balls at the same time?
Wow. Literally? Mm. Yes. Literally, yes. And as I think, I know that I've said it before, I think one of the great plot lines in wrestling could be someone getting Kamazotzed and somebody else having to be like, I love you, Charles Wallace. I love you, Charles Wallace. I'll always love you, Charles Wallace. No matter what you do, I love you, my baby brother, Charles Wallace. So it's right there. Adam Cole has set it all up for you. Thank you, Adam Cole, for our lives.
Yeah. Adam Cole, you've been doing such great storytelling.
Wow. I feel like we did a good deed here. We were so mean to him. That was wrong of us. He was doing great storytelling this whole time.
I know. And now I feel so fond of him. And I think, oh, and he was probably doing it to Tony Khan, too. And that's why he gets these long entrances and gets to be on screen so much. And
God, that's right. What a powerful brain he is.
Yeah. Because Tony just feels so normal and content and doesn't have to make any decisions.
I wish that I could see Adam Cole on screen just being like, I love being a normal man and I love my normal boys, and to have like five guys around him just bouncing balls in unison. That would make me so happy.
That'd be incredible.
Or if you went backstage and it's like a line of dressing rooms and someone has come out in front of every dressing room and they're all bouncing their ball as Adam Cole walks down the row, just being right. Like, hello.
And then they each turn around once he's passed and walk back into their dressing rooms all at the same time. Oh, that's the stuff. Wow.
So many possibilities, never to be fulfilled. Yeah, you're
I love
right.
telling cloud stories.
I know. Really. You really cooked with that one, Anne. Yeah, you really got there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you guys know if this hologram thing is related?
I don't know. It's a funny thing, this glitch in the algorithm. I was thinking, I feel when I see hologram, I feel kind of similarly as when I see Hook, which is like, I'm not mad, but I am a little baffled why we're trying to make this happen. Like, do they think this is like entertaining or interesting, or that this person like has it?
I mean, I don't know what it's related to, but I will say my interest is a little bit piqued, because when a man is given a perfect, like, what do you even call it? Inverse, you know what I mean? Like rival, like,
yeah,
I'm a lot of times that makes them better. You know what I mean?
Is that Jay Lethal? True.
No. The
clone thing.
The clone guy.
Oh, it's two men?
Well, who knows? But that's what they're suggesting. Yeah.
Yes, Allie. When Jay Lethal comes, I get so horned out. I say, Jay Lethal makes everything like, better.
Oh my God, Leah is being force norming. Where's the brain?
I love Jay Lethal.
I love Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal is his perfect nemesis. Okay, what I thought was happening, maybe I did not watch. Okay, why this is all happening right now is that beloved listener Chai Moth Boy did this Coldlision edit where they take the interesting pieces from Collision and put them and give them to us and put them up so we can see.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Chai Moth Boy, thank you for our lives.
Thank you for our lives. And it's really so vital. The work you do is so vital, and anytime you do it, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And so in the this was in the middle of like a DCF clip. I guess it's because hologram is in the conglomeration.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which is baffling for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. Kyle is imprinted on hologram? I don't know.
Yeah.
And Mark really isn't like, even there anymore.
The conglomeration is kind of in a ship of Theseus situation now. Like, I don't think there's any original components left, but except Kyle, who's back. But
Ishii getting those USD. So funny.
So hologram is getting hacked by some guy that is supposed to be, according to Lucha Blog, this guy that he used to maybe like fight a lot in Mexico, and like he's supposed to be, he's the king of strange style, which I'm like, I don't know what that means, but of course I'm interested.
Sounds freaky.
But like, I think he's also gonna have like a mask and be like, you know, the direct opposite of hologram, but like also in that way. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna give you a shot.
I'll certainly give you a shot. I think that I had interpreted this more as like, Tony Khan will be telling a cautionary tale about artificial intelligence. The algorithm takes on a
likely thing for him to do.
And so then, and then because it was in, I think it was like a cloud story that told itself to me, kind of, just by not, I wasn't thinking. So I was just trying to put the pieces together, and I was like, it's in there with the Don Callis family stuff. So Don Callis, so he's glitching, and Don Callis is going to see that and be like, I'll have that boy for my house. And then I was like, I don't know how recruiting robots intersects with his breeding agenda, but I'm willing to listen, because who says that robots can't breed? Not me. I don't know what they can do.
It's Philip Dick's new book.
Who says robots can't breed? This has been the least fact-based or sensible segment.
Allie, it's fine. Jay Lethal is going to breed the hologram.
Yeah. We're going to love it.
Love it.
And gift the children to Don Callis.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, everyone has to support the whole.
Yeah, they're contributing to
everyone
the whole.
Everyone must contribute to the whole. You're right. Jay Lethal said that. Saw that and said, on it, boss. The whole hologram.
Hologram?
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's a sex bot. Yeah. And where are we now?
Do you think we did a good job in this section?
No. I don't know. No. I don't know. Enjoy us.
Somewhere Chimeworth Boy is like, why did I put that in?
I shouldn't have
clipped it.
Once I figured out about hologram, I understood what was happening. But it took me a long time, as you can tell, to get there. Whoo, wow.
Whoa, I like buddy. How we keep referencing, like, books and obscure literary references, and meanwhile we're like, was Hook mad? I don't know.
Okay, that's not on us. That's literally not on us.
That's not on us. No,
that's
for sure.
Not on us. This hologram thing that could be on us. I don't know.
Who can say?
We're just here for a good time, okay? So we're just making our own fun. It's not a crime yet. Okay, so if we want to have this whole long digression about whether robots can have sex and breed, like, that's our business, okay? The podcast is marked explicit, probably. Also on Collision. Also on Collision. Mark Briscoe and Don Callis had a little chit-chat. Briscoe called Callis a peculiar-looking individual. I actually thought that was a better insult than any other thing that anybody has ever called Don Callis. And people put a lot of effort into their Don Callis insults. That's that true. Was the top one.
Yeah.
Peculiar, great vocabulary word. And honestly, just being like, I'm not sure what's going on with how you look is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you guys see someone point out that Don Callis has been wearing the same suit for like 5 weeks in a row?
Maybe he had to give all his clothes away to his boys. You know, they've been raiding his clothes.
Everyone has to contribute to the whole.
All that breeding has ruined all his other suits.
So you don't want to see the inside.
No.
It's a messy business.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Mark Briscoe said, it has been nearly 73 hours since I issued a challenge to Kyle Fletcher, and I have not heard a word back from him or from you. I said, well, it's just the 3-day rule.
Yeah, that triggered me. I'm like, listen, we don't have to reply to emails immediately. Sometimes you need a couple days. This culture where we're supposed to be replying instantly is wrong.
Suddenly we're on side with the Don-Cal team. We're like, they're busy. They're breeding.
If it's an emergency, call 911, Mark Briscoe.
They don't have to live to work. We work to live.
That's right. Okay? That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which is basically what Don Callis said in response. He was like, girl, everybody is emailing me. Okay, I'm getting emails every day about, oh, we want to fight Kyle for his belt. Everybody wants his belt. It's busy over here, okay? We're drowning in emails. We're doing our best. He has to focus on his 8-man tag. Just calm down, okay? And he's like, look, I'll get a man for you. I'll get one of my men to fight you.
I'll provide you a man.
I'm finding a lot of people mad right now, but yes, I'll put you on the list to be matched with a man. God.
I am heading up a very popular matchmaking service right now.
My men are in a lot of demand. There's not a lot of available men. I have a lock on the men. So yes, they are in demand. They've got a lot of clients. I'll find you a man.
And it's breeding season. You know it's breeding season.
And you just have to expect it to take 5 to 7 business days.
It really was. Like, it's like if you work in an email-based industry, you heard that and you were just like, Mark Briscoe, sit down. Stop it.
You'll get a reply when you get a reply.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he's like, look, I'll get you. Fine. I'll get you a man. And Mark Briscoe was like, yeah, and if I fight the man, then I get to fight Kyle. And Don Callis is like, yeah, Mark, if you win against the man, you can fight Kyle. I'm sure you're going to win, Mark. Yeah, then you can fight Kyle. Okay, so then Dynamite. Mark Briscoe comes out. He has an in-ring segment on the mic talking about his history and his brother's history with the 2300 Arena. It's in Philadelphia. Philadelphia and Delaware, same place. You might not have known that. Delaware, feudal state of Philadelphia. Okay, we belong to Philadelphia. And I've never felt prouder of that. And so he's like, Don Callis, I asked you less than 24 hours ago about, no, I don't know what he said, but he's like, listen, you said you'd give me a man. Can you please produce a man for me? Don Callis is like, I literally chose a man, and it's Takeshita, my best man, okay? And but that's happening on Collision. And Mark Briscoe was like, well, I want a man now. Desperate need of a man tonight. Give me a man after midnight.
All of this with heel behavior.
Yeah, like, I know. Yeah. Demanding men.
Don Callis should have been like, lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
Yeah, we stand with the Don Callis family and their ethical business. but I think Don Callis rose to the occasion. He said, my God, it's always something. Fine. Yes, you can have a man now and a man on Saturday. How does that suit you? So he sent Lance Archer out.
Well, there's also a very funny moment there where Rocky was like, me? Can I be the man? Shall I be the man? I would love to be the man. And Don Callis like looked over him and was like, Lance, you're up.
It's like, Rocky, now that Greg's dead, I guess, like, I don't even know what you're doing here. I feel sick every time I see you because I'm like, did you murder Greg? Did you kill Greg?
It honestly disgusts me to see him because I'm like, you stole Greg from his husband. And then you don't even have the, like, decency to, like, wear black when your husband's, like, dead now. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to, like, this is awful.
I think he was wearing black.
Well. Yeah.
Now, Leah, he was dressed all in black.
Do you think that was for Greg?
You dress in black for fashion and not for Greg?
I think that's right, but it's like, let's just be honest about the colors on the body. You know? No, you're right. I don't think, he certainly doesn't look sad. He's not crying. He's not wailing. He's not rending his garments seam to seam.
He should be wearing a t-shirt that just says, where's Greg?
Yeah.
Rip Greg.
Although someone in our channel today did point out that Greg has been absent since Don Callis has been talking about breeding men, so maybe he's pregnant, which I think is a great point.
Gregnant.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. I love the idea that Don Callis was like, they're having a house meeting. Don Callis is like, now this one is still in the nascent stages, but I was thinking about it. I was thinking breeding. Greg said, put me in. Put me in, coach. Bread. Oh, boss, you need one man? You need an experimental man for breeding? Put me in. I'm ready.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm a team player, boss.
No problem at all.
Okay, Greg, well, thank you for your service. I'd rather see you. I think it's like if you're pregnant, just come to TV and just say hi. I don't think you need to wrestle anyone. I don't think you need to do anything strenuous, but like, let's just get like, you know, just come say hi. I'm being bred.
Yeah. Show us your bump. And if you want to do like a gender reveal, you know, like that would be fun.
It's even funnier if Greg is like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be seen in this condition. I've retired from public life at this point. I believe this condition is a home. Yeah, yes, I'm being confined. Yeah.
I've always had Victorian sensibilities, as you know. Mm-hmm, oh, yes, mm-hmm. I did know that, Greg. I'm so sorry that I was asking you to show your pregnant body in public.
Did you guys ever read the book that The Sound of Music is based on, like, by the real woman? Well, apparently being pregnant was so, like, gross and sexual that when she got pregnant, she wore, like, kind of like a barrel to hide it, basically. She, like, had, like, a thing. And I read this, like, as a teen, and I was like, what's happening?
And I have a comment to make about that when we're off air. Put that on the list.
I'll add it to our agenda for post-pod.
Oh my goodness. A barrel. Well, Greg, come in a barrel then. I don't care. I just want to know you're safe and you're healthy and you're happy. And
come in a barrel in the context of breeding. I don't know, Allie.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to everybody.
Everyone must contribute.
Everyone must contribute to whole. Do you think that we've internalized that too much on this podcast tonight? Like, Possibly. We heard that and we were like, let's go absolutely hog wild.
I'm worried that it's like entering the lexicon of in a way that's like going to be load bearing where we're just everyone must contribute to whole.
I'm not worried about it. I'm anticipatory. I'm like, this is the best one we've had in a while. Yeah. And I won't say some of the ones that have entered the lexicon here. It's not appropriate, but this is the best in quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say we like to hear a phrase and say, that's the grossest thing I've ever heard, and then start saying it to troll each other and then just be saying it.
And then accidentally forget
one day. One day you're just like, everybody says that, right? And it's like, nobody says that. You shouldn't say it. Well, I can't stop. I've built a life around it.
Yeah. And honestly, with this tweet, like, as you were reading, I was like, well, I was thinking, well, everyone's seen it. I mean, I've, like, zillions of people have sent it to me. And I was like, perhaps that's not the experience of everyone in the IWC. They're like, this will interest you.
It's like, it really is like, we are the audience. Mm-hmm. We are the audience for this tweet. And thank you for your life.
We are the whole.
Thank you for my life.
Everyone contributes to us.
Everyone must contribute to us. Send us your full media recs. Everyone must contribute to us.
Honestly, we are the whole. I can see becoming load buried in a way that I don't think is healthy.
And I am singing it to We Are the World.
We are the whole. Everyone must contribute.
It's like, is the whole like Borg? When we do like to say that, we say Borg a lot. Should we just start saying whole?
And this contributes to the whole.
This contributes to whole.
When someone in our group chat brings us something entertaining, we say, yes, thank you for contributing to the whole.
Chai Moth Boy posts Coldlision. We say, thank you so much for contributing to the whole.
I don't think we should thank. I think it should be like kind of like sci-fi, like Dune style. Like, this contributes to whole. That is the thank you, to just say, this contributes to whole. The best thing you can be in this life is useful. This contributes to whole.
This contributes to whole. Everyone according to his ability. Into the hole.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I don't know what we're talking. I honestly have no clue what we're talking about. I don't know which section we're
in. Mark Briscoe, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, why not?
I think Delaware's compliments. Delaware.
Yeah, that's just somebody on commentary. One of them said, Delaware is a really great state, and Taz was like, it sure is, or something. And I like basically like stood up and cheered, like, yes, you can't pay for this kind of publicity. No one has ever said that about Delaware before. I never feel state pride except in moments like that where it's just like, Delaware, you're the greatest state. Yes, everybody knows it now. Okay. Well,
I'm looking. You see where you said, oh, I did all my recapping and now I don't know what discussion questions to add. Do you think we did a good job of kind of filling in that segment?
Yeah, honestly, I couldn't have imagined the conversation we just had in a million years. In a million years, I couldn't have imagined what just happened on this podcast. that we publish for some reason publicly for people to listen to, which I'm rethinking a little bit in this moment.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, somebody will quote something to us, and it's like, oh, you could hear that. Yeah, it's troubling.
We've made mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes.
Maybe we'll pull a Trish and Sarah this week and be like, for unknown reasons, there won't be a podcast.
And then you say that, and then you post, everyone must contribute to Hole. This contributes to Hole. This contributes to Hole.
It really is too bad that we got in the habit of doing this podcast before anyone was listening to it, and now we can't stop. Things.
Yeah. We can't. Because it's alarming sometimes. It's like, God, turn it off. Please turn it off. We can't turn ourselves off.
No, we're like this all the time.
Yeah. Okay, also on Dynamite, Renee interviewed Okada, and she said, everyone's talking about your sexy tension with fellow DCF member Takeshita, and Okada said, don't I know it. Oh, I bet they are. And then from the recap, Okada said Takeshita may call himself, quote, the alpha, but he is the, quote, top dog in the family, bitch. And as I said, as Leah would say, that's horse talk. But it's all part and parcel for the Don Callis family.
It's just how they do it over there. That's just how it is in that family.
I really want them to all start saying this contributes to Hole.
This contributes to Hole.
This contributes to Hole. Oh my God. Alex wins. Oh God. Alex, I'm so sorry. Alex wins a one a match on Collision. And then afterwards, Tony Schiavone was interviewing her and was like, what about when Mercedes was so
mean? He started this by saying, girl, what a great win. And I said, oh, now that you're in a romantic and sexual relationship with your husband, Nigel McGuinness, you just think you can say girl to people?
Well, he can.
I mean, of course he can. He's part of the community, but yeah.
You're right that actually, and I'm actually a little worried because I did rewatch this when I was doing the schedule. So I've been a little concerned that I didn't note that here. And I guess I was just like, yeah, he can say that. Yeah, that's right.
He's been saying it, yeah.
So he said, Mercedes was so mean to you last week. How do you feel about that? And Mercedes, I guess, had said that she could put Alex Windsor in a hospital bed beside her husband, which is a romantic imagine, kind of a World War II romantic imagine. Windsor said, that is one pissed off little woman. I wasn't sure if that was a joke of some sort. Like, I was like the Little Women? Like, is there something in here that I've
I also, like, I think she just meant that Mercedes is, like, small. But it was like, you know how you call, like, your wife, like, the Little Woman?
Yeah. So
she's like, that's one pissed off little woman I've got in my bed, you know?
There's a lot that could have been happening there that I don't think was.
I don't think so, yeah.
Cool. So then she scolded Mercedes for making jokes about the fact that Will Ospreay is dying of consumption. Oh God, me too. And challenged her to a fight on Dynamite. And they fought, and Mercedes won. And afterwards, and I honestly don't know why she did this, but Windsor was like, okay, I'll offer you the handshake of respect. And it was a good match, and they seemed like they had fun. So I guess in that sense, it makes sense. But on every other level, it doesn't. Because obviously Mercedes like fake went for it and then flipped her off, and Windsor was so angered by that then she attacked Mercedes, and they're squabbling, and Mercedes locked her into the statement maker, and then Riho ran out to jump from the ropes and stomp Mercedes for the save, and then she was helping Windsor up, and Mercedes had been flung from the ring and was lying there heaving for breath, clutching her chest. She looked great. I mean, this was a real, you know, it was a real visual. And shrieking, what the hell? And then Riho was kind of eyeing the belt. A little bit eyeing Windsor like, oh, I should help you. And then like, that belt though, pretty good looking. What'd you think?
I'm excited. I like Riho, so I think Riho versus Mercedes is going to be fun. If we're doing that at All Out, that'll be a great match.
Oh yeah, All Out. Yeah.
I know. I realized, like, halfway through this episode, I was like, oh, my God, All Out is in, like, 2.5 weeks. Like,
he's torturing us with pay-per-view. He truly is. I mean, it's like you're not supposed to complain about, like, oh, we have too much cake. Well, yeah, too much cake can make you sick. Yeah. I don't want to eat cake this month. It's my cool alley fall. I don't want any cake, Tony. I want to go outside and enjoy nature.
Yeah. 3 p.m. Yeah, I want to be enjoying some nature.
Oh, Tony, you're out of your mind. And no. I don't know what they're going to book for it, because as we've mentioned, no men. Mm. Ain't got no man. But I guess we don't need him. We have these women. We have Riho.
Yeah. I am excited for Riho Mercedes for sure. It is kind of funny to just see Riho like once a year or whatever. It's like, oh.
I feel like her and Sheeta like blow in and then blow back out. And you're like, yeah, she's not going to stay long, but she'll have fun while she's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of like cool, magical winds blow on in, shake things up, make things a little weird. And I'm singing it in my head. I am singing it.
Classic.
A true classic. I'm worried about actually about how many times I listened to it in August. It was a lot. And I was like, just kept going back and listening to the same 10 seconds over and over again. Like, it was like, this isn't good for you. Like, you should stop doing this. It's like, cannot.
No.
All right. Tony Storm had a pre-tape for the Philly crowd. Philadelphia Freaks, lend me your ears. She said, God doesn't judge. That's my job. She's just telling everyone to fight her, but she did it in a fun way that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. No complaints.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter got in a loading dock brawl with Tekla because of why. That's the one thing I don't know. I've written here. I know we saw her come back at Forbidden Door, but I'm using the term saw a little loosely because I think I was cleaning my bathroom at the time. So I have a memory of hearing her come back, but no visual, and I can't remember what was happening.
I think it was right after we were positive that Danny Garcia was going to, like, turn. Oh, so and we so we were, like, waiting for that, and then all of a sudden the Tekla thing happened, and then Jamie was there, and we were like, I have no idea what's happening right now.
Why was Tekla there?
She didn't have a match. I think she was, I think she and, like,
She's in love with Danny.
We saw them like 3 times, just like.
Allie's just taking her best guess. Someone's probably in love.
It's just wishful thinking. At a certain point, you're like, I'll just say something I would like. Someone's in love with someone. It's me. You're in love with me. Okay. Well, okay, so she's feuding with Tekla. She's feuding with Tekla.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, that's no problem. That's all good. We'll see where that goes. Chris and Harley had a backstage promo on Dynamite. This one is interesting because I somehow missed some early components of their tag team. And also some stuff that was going on with Harley's mask. I seem to have missed some very small pieces that are pretty integral to kind of understanding this. So it's a bit of a fever dream, which I don't mind. I'm just owning my lack of understanding because Harley is wearing this mouse mask, which I think is because she had an orbital fracture. Is that right?
I think it's like the Brandon Cutler thing where he had to wear it for a little while. For real. Well,
Brandon wore it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So she's wearing it and she's like, but it's supposed to protect me, but it didn't protect me because Megan Bain hit me with her powerful fists and it messed me up. And Chris was like, Harley, the mask doesn't have the power. You have the power. And then they ripped off the mask and Harley's face was painted like a mouse. And her orbital must be fine. You have to imagine.
My impression is that an orbital takes 2 to 3 years to heal, so I was a little concerned, but yeah, it's probably fine.
I know, I'm like, what I learned from Brandon is that's a permanent injury.
You just have to wear that.
And so they declined to be assigned a team name, which I kind of liked because it felt a little like they were like, that's how you get cursed. You don't want that. And they were like, we'll fight anyone, though. We'd love to fight Brodito. I'd love to see you fight Brodito.
I would love to see that. I would love to see Chris Statlander against Brody. I would love that.
Don't tease me. That would be so fun. Come on.
Yeah.
I think Carly Cameron just had a broken nose.
Oh.
Where's your orbital?
It's around your eye, I think.
What I was thinking. Oh, under? Oh, it's the under guy?
I think
I wouldn't like to break that. That's scary. That's scary. I wouldn't like that. Okay, so then at this point, Wheeler Yuta interrupts. And he's like, hey, girls. just wanted to let you know. If you're fighting anyone, could be Brodito, could be anybody else. Just know the Death Riders have your backs. And Harley starts to respond, but then and Stat is like standing in front of her, and then Marina Shafir appears, and Chris tells Marina, "You can tell our friend that I got his message. All right." Should I know what that means?
I thought it meant that Chris Mox? Was saying that Mox sent Yuta to say that. That Yuta wasn't coming to say that on his own. That Mox told him, go tell Chris we'll be in her corner. But I don't know if that's right.
It's, okay, that could be right. It is so funny for Yuta to deliver the message and then for Chris to be like, and I see you have a babysitter, so I'll be talking to her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think it's fun that Yuta he's been doing a lot more of the talking for the Death Riders lately, which I'm kind of into. It's like he's got a crazy amount of heat considering how little he does. And
people love like
chanting fuck you, Yuta.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. I have no objections. I enjoyed all of this. I think I'm worried that I'm at a point where I'm so used to being confused that the most straightforward thing in the world could happen with this storyline, and I'm going to come on here and be like, guys, I'm perplexed. And you'll be like, okay, idiot. Pretty normal. I'm like, well, I'm just used to feeling like I don't know what's going on. But I'm happy. Do you think that Mox really is going to get all these youths in his cult? Do you think that it's going to be like, I found out, someone told me the other day, lots of people are joining the Catholic Church now. I said, what do you mean? So it's like, do you think it's like that? It's like kind of a renaissance for the cult?
I don't think.
I didn't know that could happen. In 2025?
No.
Seems crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I feel like he can't get everybody he's asking for, but maybe one of them will, but I don't know.
That's why you cast a wide net. It's so you at least get into your safety school, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the safety school out of these little guys?
Hook.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't even know why I asked. He doesn't that you say want, that.
But it's like he wants to get someone. I thought you just meant like, I don't know. I did totally misinterpreted it. It was like, you think that Hook is the one he like definitely is going to get? Like,
no, like the guaranteed yes. Like,
yeah.
That Hook is going to be like, yeah, I'm offered. Absolutely in.
If he offered, Hook would have no choice but to accept.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued with what he would do with all of them. So, and I was about to say, Chris has the horniest vibe about it, but Danny Garcia had a pretty horny vibe too. So,
yeah.
And it is funny to imagine if, like, he does take all three of them for Danny Garcia and Chris to be dealing, like, with this, like, I'm scared and horny and excited all at once, and Hook just kind of looking at them being like, we're horny about this?
Yeah, I know. It's like, you guys feel a lot. I just thought, I was just kind of here to pass the time. You know, it's like, you've got to get a degree. They're like, we're so excited to be at Mox University.
My dad said I had to be here.
Well, Taz going around backstage being like, I got to find a faction for him.
He's not
Mox,
safe on his
own. Mox,
you
gotta take him. Yeah.
He's like,
what
Mox,
if I donate to the Death Riders? You know, you could name a building after me. And
it does kind of feel, I would love, and it would be so demeaning, so you can never do it, but I would love for it to be like Taz is going to Mox and just being like, listen, I got favors I can cash in. You owe me, buddy, because of that one time, that one thing, that one time, back at that place, WWE.
Alluded to, never mind. It was Ricochet and Hurt Syndicate alluded to having beef at the other place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
FTR did, too, this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, on Collision, they did.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on. Jet Speed, Kenny, and Hangman fought the Young Bucks, Kyle Fletcher, and Josh Alexander in this week's Dynamite main event. Total blast of a match. We'll get into some of the top spots, okay? But this ended with Kyle Fletcher taking out Kevin Knight for the win, and then there was like a DCF beatdown. Let's talk about the stuff that we liked. Okay, what'd you like from the match? What was interesting from the match?
I spent the whole time being like, surely they're going to show us the four of them in the break. Surely. Yeah. And I was like on edge. And when it finally happened, I like fell back into the cushions and was like, I can't go on.
I know. I like Kenny really felt alive watching this. I was like, this is what I've needed. Yeah. This is so fun. And then after that point when they were all together, it was like, why is Jet Steed still here? Like, get out.
I really said that it felt like it was like an 8-man orgy where like halfway through you were just like, four of these men are extraneous. Like, what are you doing? Get out of the way. Yeah. I'm trying to watch the real thing. They're just like, we can do it too. We're doing really fun stuff. It's like, yeah, it's fun. Go to another room. You're not welcome in this bed.
Listen, I like you normally, but this is for adults. If you're not going to contribute to the whole, please go to the other room.
Everyone, how often do we have to say it? Everyone must contribute to the whole. You know what? I've never meant it more, and we've only had this phrase for half an hour. I've never meant it more than when I say this match contributed
to the whole. This contributed.
Yeah.
One of our group chats was like talking negatively about it, and I flipped out and was like, "Y'all need to find God."
I said, I have to walk away right now.
I genuinely did.
Leah was like, I hear a lot of young people are joining the Catholic Church.
Have you considered taking this opinion to confession?
Honestly, when I heard the Catholic Church thing, literally one of the first things I thought was like, I didn't know that people had that appreciation for their aesthetics anymore. And that's the one thing they have going for them. That's the one big thing that Catholics, all old world religions have going for them. It's just like, you must admit, aesthetically.
That's why people love to put Catholicism in movies, and your standard God, you know, Lutherans aren't in there.
Lutherans are not making it. You know, they're at the Ludovic potluck. Yeah.
It's like that basement fellowship hall aesthetic is not really.
With the folding chairs? It's like, yeah, that's not doing it for us.
There's no other Christian, like realm of Christianity that has the aesthetic.
I mean, Greek Orthodox, you could make
it. Oh, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah.
But they're, you know,
there's so few of them comparatively. And especially now that the Catholic Church is growing at such a great rate, maybe. It's just something that one of our friends said to us. Jenna said this to me. That's the only source I have.
Yeah, Jenna, citation, please.
We'll ask her to bring us an article about it. Now, why are we, now what?
Because people needed to find God because they weren't appreciating this match enough. Yeah.
Join the Catholic Church. Like that you write about this. They know that those four men should be in the ring. They're meant to be in the ring. I think the Philly crowd deserved. They got to be chanting for the elite. I said justified elite chants. Mm-hmm. I hope Tony tweeted that if he didn't, missed opportunity. Mm. Truly.
Yeah. I was so happy because one of my friends took one of our other friends to a Dynamite for the first ever time. They'd never been to and in fact the only wrestling that they'd ever taken in was our podcast.
Wow. So the that'd only give you an impression of wrestling that
and
might
so
not be fully
their
accurate.
Initiation was this match, and I'm like, it doesn't get better.
It's almost like there's something almost bad about it because it's just like it's downhill. Oh, you saw this one?
It's like how our first wrestling show was All In 2021 and – or All Out 2021.
Yeah,
and my brother said to me, he was like, yeah, I don't know if that's – like nothing will ever live up to it. So that's a weird entry point.
Yeah. Well, I love that though. I'm glad that they got to see it.
Yeah.
Kenny,
with the facial hair gone, it's an ungodly look. And I always find it unsettling, and this happened with James from ONR too, where they shave and you're like, oh, something's gone horribly wrong. I don't remember what was there before, but it wasn't this.
That is the funniest thing about it, is that I'm like, yeah, I see he looks different. I can't summon an image. It's like when you say facial hair, I'm like, what, like mutton chops? What did he have?
I know. I'm like, did he have a beard? What was he must have. Right, or was it just a heavy stubble? Like, hard to say.
Invoking James O&R is making me think, like, when James did it, he did it by accident. He was trying to, like, fix his mustache and cut it, like he cut it stupid and had to cut it off. I would be so happy if that's what happened with Kenny, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Kenny was like, yeah, we all wish I had facial hair.
He's like, I know it looks terrible, but I... Yeah.
Kenny wishes it too. Kenny wish it too. Guy, stop talking about it. You're hurting Kenny's feelings. This was the most... What a roller coaster ride it was. So we're having a wonderful time. The elite are all there. We're getting our asses like worked up because they're doing these callback moves. And Kenny is, looks happy for the first time in years.
There's like, a light in his eyes. The way Hangman's smiling at him. I was like, oh, I missed alive, Kenny.
Matt Jackson is licking his lips as Kenny comes out of the ring. Just like, get in here, big boy. Kenny's like, big boy is getting in there. And he's so happy to be here. He's doing his moves with Hangman. They're exchanging glimmering smiles. I mean, you're just like, what an electric energy. And we're getting excited because we're like, oh my God, maybe Kenny and Hangman are going to team up some more after this. Like, and if in a perfect world, maybe they go, maybe it's, they fight the Bucks again, just the four of them, the way God meant for it to be.
But perhaps at the pay-per-view,
you said perhaps maybe they'll do it at the pay-per-view. And I immediately onboarded it. Like, it's happening. And it's then.
But then I was even downgrading a little by the end because I was like, Allie, that's crazy. Like, they're not going to do that. But, like, they seem to be setting up, like, Josh Alexander, I guess, was on Collision being like, I'm desperate to fight Kenny Omega. And so it's like, maybe they'll just fight some DCF guys, but it'll be Kenny and Hangman together again. And that's so good for Kenny because he really needed this, clearly, because look how happy he is. And then the bad guys win the match, and then Rocky and Lance Archer, Rocky and his widow's weeds, Rocky and Lance Archer come out, and they're beating up on they're killing Hangman, and they're killing Kenny, and where Jet Speed, I've got no fucking clue. I actually don't know.
I watched that, so like, the Bucks like limped out of the ring and went up the ramp, and they looked a little bit like, wow, that was intense. I feel emotionally drained and physically damaged. I'm kind of limping. And Jet Speed chased after them and was like, we're not done with you, Young Bucks. And I was like, they're not even doing anything.
I know, it's like, that's like, they're just confused. They're a confused canine rescue unit. They're like, we've trained for this. And when there's two men leaving, we're two men. And we chase them. And it's just like, maybe in some circumstances, we actually stay in the ring and defend the men there who
the
are being
are down.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Actually being murdered. Yeah.
The killed men.
For a second, they thought they were sheepdogs, and there were two sheep wandering off, and they were like, we gotta go nip at them. But
a sweet imagine, though. That's really sweet. I like imagining Jet Speed just hurting the Young Bucks. They're not hurting, they're hurting. Mm-hmm. And the Young Bucks are just looking disgruntled and being like, stop, we're trying to go to our stupid extra dressing room. We just want to sit down and put some icy hot on. Stop it, stop it. You guys are so goddamn annoying.
Don't nip at my heels, I'm going already.
Jet Speed are so proud of themselves. They're like, we got him at the extras room, boss. We got him locked in the extras dressing room, boss. And then they go back out there. It's like, boss is dead. Everyone's fucking dead because Kenny gets murdered. They get him in his guts and then they brainbuster him through a table. And then next thing you know, it's like the sinking feeling I experienced of like, wait, oh God, wait, no, this is like
They're putting the cone on him. They're putting the neck cone on him. That's not a good sign.
And they're getting him on a stretcher, and suddenly you're like, oh God, this feels so familiar because I've watched so many men die this way recently. This is how they kill you when you're going off TV for a while. Kenny, and so suddenly I realize, I'm like, oh, he was happy that whole time. Because he was thinking about vacation.
Because this is his last day at work before vacation. Which is crazy because he's on vacation all the time. He shows up for work like maybe once a month.
Nobody cares about Kenny's health more than me. I want Kenny to be healthy. I just don't understand why somehow every time I see him, it's in the most confusing possible way. Where it's like,
crazy.
What if Kenny needed to not be on TV? What if he just had... and come back after the pay-per-view.
Right.
Can I? So he tweeted right before we started recording. Can I read this tweet to you?
I'm
so
scared.
Funny.
I'm scared. Yeah.
So Russell Pierce tweeted, Kenny Omega is missing AEW All Out and had time off planned. So Kenny retweets it and goes, time off? Specialized hospital visits and work that had been planned for a year. But sure, let's bait the trolls. I'm just trying to improve what I can and represent the company in a positive way while not performing. What does that mean? What does that mean? At the hospital?
Improve what I can.
Improve what I can. Represent the company in a positive way? Like, is he going to something? Is he going to, like,
he is doing
Japan Comic-Con or something?
Yeah, I think he's doing something in Japan for sure, but, like...
Listen, that's fine. It literally, I want to be clear. I'm not saying, I'm not even saying Tony, you're fine in this instance. I'm not saying like, can you get your ass to work? I'm not saying like, seems like nobody wants to work around here. I'm just saying it. I think it's a little crazy to bring him back for 5 minutes and then be like, and he's gone again.
I feel like this whole year has been so confusing, and I don't know whose fault it is or what's happening or whatever, but it's like, can't we just have him back for like 3 straight months if he needs like 9 months off? Like, instead of having like 1 week and then there's a 3 month gap and then one more week. It's like, why?
I don't know. Oh, Anne, are you asking me?
It was rhetorical, but the pause did concern me a little bit.
I was literally just so brainless right now, just sitting here thinking the Moonstruck confused gift to myself. And me like, I can't keep doing this. I can't be confused for this long, Tony. That scene only lasts for 10 minutes, but I feel like I've been confused my whole life.
I think I've somehow adjusted where I'm like, yeah, like you don't get to keep, like, Kenny.
Kenny's a bird. He flies free.
When he lands on your finger for a moment, you just say, oh, a gift. And then he flies away again. And you try to hold him. You don't try to, you know, capture him.
He's because a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, I think.
Now, if you love Kenny, let him free. He comes back to you.
Kenny's like, I don't want to come back to you. I am contractually obligated to come back to you. But it's not what I'd prefer, really. I hope he's well. Maybe I shouldn't complain. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I got to see you happy. You know what? Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I got to see you Mbop, and that was and you were happy there. And then I got to see you have these two glorious weeks at the 2300 Arena where you were happy. And I may never see you happy again. I hope I do. I hope you are happy.
I mean, he's going to improve himself at the specialized hospital visits, but then we'll see happiness.
As much as he can. And I know he's going to represent the company as best he can as well. And that matters a lot to me. Kenny, you put me through hell, you little scamp. You little baby boy. You're my sweet little boy. You torture your mama. You torture her. You hurt her.
She just wants to see you, and you never come home. You never call.
You never call. You never write. I had this acquaintance in college. We didn't know each other that well. And one time I ran into her in the library and she just shouted. And she was the tallest. I mean, she was a god. She was a goddess. But she was the tallest woman. And she just shouted up the stairs at me in the middle of the library. You never call. You never write.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And I didn't even marry her. It's such a waste. Wow. Okay.
That'd be a great story at your reception, you know?
I know. Mm. Missed opportunities. Okay. Cope and Christian, it's our final little segment. Now, let's do a poll. How many...
This is going to be embarrassing.
How many girls on the podcast right now saw the whole segment? And it's by a private show of hands on the Zoom. Now, listeners, we'll never tell.
Room for the whole segment. Oh. I was excited to start a new knitting project, and I thought I can watch while I do this, and I did.
So. Honestly, Anne, I think the fact that you were in the room the whole time is huge.
Thank you so much,
Leah. Where were you? Do you know?
Where were you
when Cope and Christian got beat up by FDR?
I was in the kitchen.
You were in the kitchen.
I left the room.
Yeah. I was in the basement doing
my laundry. Wow. So.
And I came back. I don't know what was on before this, but I came back upstairs. I'm feeling so virtuous because, you know, it's hot. It's cold. Alley fall. So I'm like,
right.
I can't
Everything's
believe.
Clean in your house.
I can't believe I'm doing this laundry. This is huge. I come back in. I just see disheveled Dax and Cash beating up the old man. I just said, this is so... What did I say? I don't know.
You said undignified.
This is so undignified. And then I just almost didn't watch the next 5 minutes of the segment because it was just kind of like, oh God, I remember when I left, I think something interesting was happening.
I thought they were going to talk in ring and they fully did not. They just got assaulted by FTR, which was like, I'm not complaining in a way, but
in a way. But it was a confusing segment because they're beating up and security have been told, like, this is the highest priority. Oh, if the old men are fighting FTR, send everyone. But I guess they didn't have that many everyones at this time. So they sent, like, 6 to 8 ROHers. And that was confusing because you looked in the ring and you were like, who are these guys? They're not security. They're not in uniforms.
Yeah, and commentary was talking like you would know them. So, like, I looked up from my knitting and was like, there's strangers everywhere. And I was like, I did miss the pay-per-view in last week's show, but, like, did they introduce 6 to 8 new men?
And where were any of those men when Kenny Omega was getting murdered?
Nobody helped Kenny Omega. Nobody came to help Kenny Omega.
No. Dark.
Dark.
He hired 80% of them.
This will teach him.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was right, though. He was right. You must admit.
Of course he was right.
When you have Miro out there saying the stuff he's saying, you must admit.
I've actually lost a lot of the men from the 80% time frame when you think about it.
Kenny should give regular updates to that number. Yeah.
What percent now, Kenny, would you get rid of?
Yeah, Kenny. Well, okay. Anyway, so 6 to 8 ROHers are in the ring, and they're doing whatever. They're getting pummeled. They're in the mix, and I wouldn't worry about that. And then it's over. Somehow it ends. None of us know. I don't think any of us know exactly how. And then later backstage, FTR are giving a promo. They're really angry, and they're with Stokely, and he's really angry too, and they're so upset. And then Cash sees one of these ROHers. And he has a name. It's Adam Priest. And he says, get on over here. You, Adam Priest, you come over here. And then he's kind of verbally assaulting him and being like, oh, buddy, you're gonna rue the day you let security send you to that ring. And you're going to have to fight me. I'm going to beat your ass. And you better find a tag team partner fast for Collision, for this week's very special Collision. So they're going to fight them. And I thought, oh, are you guys buddies or something? What's up? What's happening here? Should I know you? Who are you? I'm confused. I'm scared. I lost my mom at the toy store, so I'm just wandering around looking at women's legs. Some of these legs must be my mom.
This segment did not contribute to Hole.
No, not at all.
And everyone must contribute to Hole.
Everyone must. Guys, we're hosting the backstage meeting, the production meeting. We're just like, and guys, I know you don't want to hear it every week, okay? But we do have to reiterate, everyone must contribute to Hole.
And then we have our debrief after the episode where we list out who contributed to Hole and who did not contribute to Hole. FTR, I'm sorry to say again, you're on the non-contribute list.
I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you because it bodeth not well come contract season. If you continue to fail to contribute to Hole. If I don't see a couple of Hole contributions.
I know. And, like, we didn't even get to see, like, Christian and Cope have some kind of weird psychosexual exchange. Like,
I'm being driven. I'm being driven insane by it's like, you guys can't do. And I've been having fun. I've been happy the last few weeks because they're having kind of an evil boys, kind of an evil boys. You know, they're getting back. They're getting their groove back. I'm like, you guys can't film one pre-tape where you're just like having a really freaky psychosexual heart to heart about the ways in which your relationship has changed over the years, what you want from each other, what you crave from each other. Like, it could be so weird.
I saw a tweet the other day that when Cope's wife was getting engaged to him, she asked Christian's permission first because according to Christian, they have been married since sixth grade. It's like, okay, tell me more about that.
Bring it to TV.
That's the kind of stuff we should be doing on air.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It feels like sometimes wrestling is like you see someone every week in like an okay outfit, but you're like, it's fine, we could do better. And then you get invited to their house and they take you to their walk-in closet and it's like, what the fuck? You have amazing clothes. Like, this is like, you could be wearing the coolest outfits ever, every single week. And they're just like, probably won't, probably just wear that same outfit. Probably just wear that same one. Fuck you.
Garbage.
Get
garbage.
Dressed for us. Get dressed for us. That's all. But I wasn't really mad at them. But now I'm mad. I've gotten myself mad. You know, now I'm mad.
I mean, when you hear things like that, it's hard not to be like, why aren't you bringing that energy to me?
So messed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you haven't said that on TV. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You call yourself a pro wrestler? You're a disappointment. This does not contribute to whole.
Don Callis would never put up with this.
Callis would have you. He would have you in the punishment chamber for a week.
Saying derisively, this does not contribute to whole, is like just so satisfying.
I'm worried about how many times we said it tonight. I think it could be in the thousands. Anyway, was there anything you wanted to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about?
I don't think so.
No.
No, we kind of said pretty much everything first.
Said too much, potentially, yeah.
We'll see what makes it to publication. You know, we'll see what makes it. Hey, yeah. Whatever you heard is what you heard. And if you're listening to this like, wow, it was so normal. You guys didn't say anything weird. That's cool.
Yeah, we didn't.
We didn't. You're right. We didn't. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
I've been Leah. And that sounded good together.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that beautiful music. This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network, and you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. Oh, God, stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save